Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Talk about it. That's poet Mary Oliver, and this is Everyday Wonder, a podcast where we turn down the volume on all the shouting that's going on these days so we can talk about the things that really matter. I'm Brett Will Taylor, and we are here today with our forever guest, the City of New Orleans, and one of our favorite guests, our resident bon vivant, James Brunell Williams, and of course, my Everyday Wonder co-host, Renee Peck.
Hello, Brett Will.
Hello.
Today, we're having a conversation about social media, and that is a very broad topic, one that has caused a lot of controversy about everything from privacy to politics. So we're going to do a little different take today. We are going to look at the potential wonder of social media from a more narrow focus, and that is storytelling. You know, ever since the first cave dweller chipped a petroglyph into a stone wall, humans have been telling stories. And social media is, in some ways, merely the latest iteration of how we tell our stories. In a sense, social media has become our modern-day campfire. It's one that encompasses not just that cave floor, but a global one that encompasses the entire world. Because anyone and everyone can and do tell their stories on social media. So is that a good thing? James, you use Instagram to tell a lot of stories. You post beautiful photographs that you find, I guess, unusual or interesting or humorous or witty. And you've gathered quite a following, serendipitously along the way. So what do you think about social media and storytelling? How did you get into it and why?
So I got into it because my mother convinced me to get on Facebook, which I thought was like, I would never do that in my life. And she was on it way before I was. And so finally I get involved in Facebook. This was, of course, many years ago at this point. And then later, when it wasn't that long ago, maybe just a few years ago, she's telling me about Instagram, which I didn't really know about and was afraid of it. But then I get involved and start following her because she was making me laugh. But then I kind of went down my own road with it. And living in New Orleans, there is beauty here everywhere, and a lot of my followers knew I lived in New Orleans that I would meet, so I started posting pictures of New Orleans, and getting fed the beauty that people enjoyed seeing on my page made me want to post more.
What makes a story on Instagram? I mean, are you a photographer?
No, I'm not a photographer. Sometimes it's the caption. Sometimes it's just the picture. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, who doesn't? I photographed your house on my way in here today. I mean, that was my story for today. This is what I'm doing, and people love it. I'll get comments from all over the place. This is where I am after when I go to dinner. I'll do the same thing. I think it is just, this was, a lot of the responses I get are, your life is great. But it's just, I'm here. I love being in this atmosphere.
So it's a story that takes place in the moment.
It's the story that takes place in the moment. It's never really planned.
But it follows a long tradition of storytelling, right, Brett Will?
Well, it follows, I think humans are wired more than anything to make sense of our world via stories, right? We have data, you know, we cook dinner, we go to work. But I think that the way we make sense of all that is via stories. You know, we don't just say, oh, I had a club sandwich for lunch today, or I'm having a however the hell you pronounce whatever this drink is in front of me right now. You know, you talk about what it tastes like, what it feels like. And I think that's why we've always had stories. Though, you know, I think back to those first cave drawings, and I always think, if you were there, were they as big a deal as we make them? Or was, you know, Ida mad at Horace because he kept drawing on the damn wall of their cave? So, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because there are two different kinds of story traditions here. One is the oral storytelling and one is the written storytelling. And the petroglyphs on the wall are the written storytelling and the ones that were meant to last. So I do think Ida...
But we don't know if they were meant to last. I mean, they did last. And I think that's one of the really, and Renee, you and I have talked about this, you know, that's one of the really terrifying things is what if what we put on Facebook, I know some things like Snapchat, your story goes away quickly, but you know, Facebook is getting ready to give people access to all the stories that have ever been told on it. And my God, you know, what is it going to be like if 5,000 years from now, people know what in the hell I was doing on a Saturday night in New Orleans and posting on Facebook?
Well, they're going to think we all ate on plastic dishes too, because that's all that's going to last 5,000 years from now. So honestly, I think what James is doing on Instagram and what other people are doing on their Facebook pages, in a way, is our social history. And that makes it important, because that's who we are in this moment. Isn't that what you're doing, James?
Absolutely. I mean, I am documenting my life to some degree. And I think I'm also trying to give people what they want to see and what they want to enjoy based on feedback that I get back. And sometimes it's my friends or family or some, you know, I travel a lot for work. If I'm on the other side of the world, I meet someone and they're intrigued by this. They'll never make it to New Orleans, but they love seeing it. And I like providing that to them.
Well, and here's what I love about what you provide, James, is, you know, and this is a show called Everyday Wonder, so no surprise, this is my attitude about it. But, you know, we so love to dump and bash Facebook and other social and Instagram and say how horrible it is. And that's what we do. It's that inner eighth grade person in us that whatever is popular, we have to piss on. And I love the fact that underlying all of this conversation is that you kind of do it to have fun.
I do it.
And so I think, you know, those pictures, like the images that you post of a structure here or a street corner here, sure, for some people there's an architectural relevance to it, but you can see the fun.
James, in documenting your stories through Instagram, has it opened your eyes to things you didn't see before? Has it changed your appreciation of New Orleans, or have you learned something about the city that perhaps you did not before because you are now telling stories about it?
I may have said this before, but I've had a love affair with this city all of my life, and the love affair continues even with the posts that I see of my friends here in New Orleans or people asking me a question, or I went to a restaurant and they're like, where is this? And so I get to share with them, or perhaps you all or someone's doing something I'm not even familiar with, so I can ask questions, so I never get tired.
And see, to me, there's the wonder right there, because whoever tires of a love affair, you know?
But do you learn something new about New Orleans? Is she a little tawdrier? Is she a little more beautiful? Is she a little more jealous? I mean, I don't know.
I think what I'm finding that's rather interesting, just because I don't normally subscribe to this, is she's very athletic. Like, you know, you can ride bikes all over the place now, and there's this side of New Orleans.
Where are you?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that I'm usually used to the alcohol, the booze, and the partying, but now there's this new resurgence, I think, of people actually like exercising and all. And I'm just amazed, though, because these are things that I would see in Los Angeles or maybe on the riverfront of Chicago. And it's a new part of New Orleans because of the parks and everything and the Lafitte Greenway, all of these new things. And I'm enjoying that. What I've come to learn is that I'm also helping people with questions, or they want to know something, or I get inspired if you're in Wyoming or, you know, wherever. Where are you? And I'll start asking questions. So it's been sort of a give and take.
Right.
That I've enjoyed.
And see,
actually,
I think that goes back to Renee's campfire metaphor of why do we gather around the campfire, you know, to share stories? Why are we sharing stories? Well, it's fun. You know, I love that you share stories because your mother told you to.
Yes, and let's give it up for our mothers who put us on social media. My 87-year-old mother FaceTimes.
And how original for a gay boy to have mother issues. I love that, the everyday wonder of that. But, you know, so we gather around the campfire to share stories that give us joy. But as you were just talking, we gather around the campfire to share stories that help us learn something. Or help us think in a different way.
Yeah, but I gotta jump in here, because the difference with social media and telling stories is that in the days of cave people and myth and tradition, the important people told the stories, the judges, the historians, the rulers, and everyone else gathered at their feet and listened. With social media, just the sheer scale of it has made everyone an author. 3 billion people, 40% of the world's population, use online social media. We spend an average of 2 hours a day sharing, liking, tweeting, updating our platforms. There's a good side to that, because storytelling makes us more creative. It makes us more collaborative. It makes us share ideas and start conversations like these. But by the same token, when you have 3 billion people all posting something, you get a lot of chaff with the wheat.
But wait, but see, I love this, because then maybe the world really is ending, because we've come full circle. Because the cave people, I don't think it was only the important people that got to write, you know, draw in their caves. I don't think there was a caste system for cave people. Maybe there was. It was just what everybody did. So we're back to being in our caves.
But storytelling as an oral and a written tradition was more formal.
Yes.
You've got the epic tales, you've got the hero myths, and you've got the creation stories.
We didn't have a 12-year-old girl acting as an influencer, which I know is one of your favorite aspects of modern storytelling.
Exactly. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I just think that everybody now can tell stories. And you and I have talked a little bit about how nowadays we can curate our own stories so that no one else tells our stories and we can curate them in any way I want. And I know, James, in a way, that's what you do every day when you put things out there. You're selecting. You may say you don't know why you take this particular picture, but you're curating your life as you go along, and that's kind of a beautiful thing.
And you are absolutely right. Like, very rarely will I take a picture of something and say, I'm not going to post it. There was something in the moment that I thought made sense or that people would appreciate or like or want to even ask me about. Every now and then I'll take something, and when I was just in New York, there was like one or two pictures that I took, and I just said, no, I'm not going to post this, or I didn't like it, or I thought it was substanceless. And I don't want to be that person that posts substanceless stuff, you know, something that invokes feeling or thought. I do like that.
But see, to me, you think substance, and I certainly respect that because it's your account and it's your images. I think wonder less, you know, that maybe you don't post those things that don't have wonder. Zen Buddhists teach that there's a fragrance to things like love. And I happen to think that there's a fragrance to things like wonder, right? You can't quite define it. You just know it when you sense it. And I think that's what I love about what you do and what other people, you know, it's what I love about the pictures you post of three generations of Peck kids or Peck girls having a snow cone. Is there's a wonder, you know, you are capturing the wonder of that moment, and it's gentle and it's precious and it doesn't need a lot of words, but if you pause to see it, you experience it, and that makes you feel better.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is a lot of wonder in the way that we now record our lives, but I think there's also a lot of danger in it.
Absolutely.
First of all, I think there's a lot of boredom in it because I think a lot of people do mindlessly post things that really don't connect, because a lot of storytelling is not about the storyteller but about the audience. And suddenly this platform, this larger global campfire, has given us access to people to hear our stories in a way that's never before been possible. I know you probably have attracted followers that you are not even aware of.
And that is true. And I think that, and I'm starting to be a little bit more cautious about it, about who, if someone sends
me
a request.
Now? Do we have to go through
someone? Are you an influencer, James?
Do we have to book,
no,
go
I'm
through
not.
Someone to
I'm nowhere influence? Near yeah. any of that. No, I think that you just brought up a very good point, actually. I am starting to be a little bit more cautious. And sometimes, and I have another friend of mine that'll say, well, who looked at your post? I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. And they would have to show me how to do it. And every now and then I'll look and I'm like, I don't know who some of these people are. But they are people that I've encountered or met at some point in my life that were interested. And so it doesn't really necessarily bother me.
I want to go back to your point on curating, Renee, because even as someone who's been a storyteller for a long time and worked in the world of communication, it's a phrase I actually never had thought about or heard, or I only thought about it for art, right?
Right.
And as a journalist, you think of curating stories.
Right.
And what does that mean?
That means going through the billion stories out there and picking the best.
Right.
That's all it means. And you can do that as an editor. You can do it as a writer. You can do it as an audience member. So all of us curate not only the stories that we write, but we more often curate the stories that we listen to or read.
And see, here's what I love about that. Because when I hear you reference that, you know, some people are mindless or bored, and they just sort of regurgitate their boredom onto social media, and it continues on. You know, the old type A gay side of me is like, you know, screw them. If you're bored, we don't want to talk to you. The evolving shaman in me is like, but wait a minute. You know, what could you offer? And I think this idea of curating social media is fascinating because I think it makes us more mindful, which is always a nice thing. But I think for a lot of people who are, you know, who are frustrated by what they hear and read about it and don't know what to do or turn it off or whatever, curating your own stories is not only really a better way to live, it might be a way to turn the tide of some of the negativity on social media. Does that make sense to either of you, or am I just dreaming?
No, I think it's true. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that you can be more true to yourself and live more in the moment and experience and recognize the wonder of the world the way James does in the way you curate your existence by putting it out there, by putting it online. There's a vulnerability to putting things online, too, that opens yourself to the world, and I think that's a good thing. Social media also allows us to tell false stories, and a lot of people have Instagram accounts that that make them look like they live in a perfect world, but then have secret other accounts that tell stories that are more true to how desperate or sad they may be. Mm-hmm. So what story you're putting out there and what story you're getting as an audience can be two very different things.
Well, I think you're talking about authenticity, you know, which is not always an easy thing to talk about when you live in the South, because we're not necessarily known for that in many ways. But what do you think about that, James?
I think that's a very interesting thing. Now, I have tried to be somewhat authentic with my account for the most part.
I love somewhat. The good Southern boy.
I don't know if people want to see sadness and angst because they have that. And maybe perhaps the reason why they like my account is because they get to temporarily remove themselves into some other world at some point. But, you know, there's been a couple of times I had one of my cats died 3 or 4 years ago and I was wrecked. And I did make the choice to post a single picture of me kind of giving him a final hug goodbye. Aww. And I think that even with something like that, people are able to connect to that. They've had a sense of loss or sadness, but I don't think people are watching my account for me to post too much of that. I think that's what they have. All of us have.
Do you think your online persona is different in any way from your everyday in-person persona?
I don't think so. I'm posting silly things sometimes and just beauty, things that I see as I go around New Orleans or wherever I am, but I don't think that's not me.
Well, you know, it's interesting because as a journalist for 30-something years, I have always had editors and people who curated my story with a capital C, and that was talked about what the angle was, who to interview, how to shape it, how to tell it, how to do it, and that's where I come from. And so now a lot of the spontaneity of the lowercase curated stories intrigues me. I think there's a lot of good stuff out there, and I think there's a lot of bad stuff out there, but it's all being flung out there without a lot of interference.
Well, and I think what's interesting, and let me just throw this out to you all, because again, I think for listeners, maybe not, but this idea of, you know, taking charge of your story rather than letting Jesus take the wheel or Mark Zuckerberg take the wheel, you take the wheel of your own story, could be intriguing. I think back to my book editor, who when I was first writing and on social media, she encouraged me to do what I would say is kind of a hybrid between uppercase C and lowercase C. And that was to think about 3 or 4 topics or things I cared about and pretty much just post about them. Does that make sense or is that too controlling and not authentic?
No, I think that's a method. And I think different people have different methods. When I was in journalism, you were not supposed to ever use the first person. University of Missouri professor once famously said, don't ever use the I word unless the lead is, I'm back, said Jesus. So,
who now, by the way, has an Instagram account.
So I'm sure. So, but with online journalism of every stripe, the first person is where it's at, and people want to hear the first person, and it's not this taboo thing that it used to be. People want James's viewpoint. They want to know how you see that particular thing that you photograph. So I think we're getting to know people in more personal ways.
I agree. I think that's a really good statement, actually, and I don't mind sharing that, you know, to a degree with people.
You know, this may be a hard right turn, or maybe just a veer to the left here. But when I think of the chaos of social media, because it is kind of chaotic, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, we are each pretty particular about what we post, but a lot of people aren't. Again, you just regurgitate whatever you want to put out. So when I think of the chaos of social media, I think back to when Joseph Campbell, the comparative mythologist, sat down with Bill Moyers in the 80s and talked about myth. And at that time, Bill Moyers asked Campbell, you know, why is there such violence in the world today? Why do you have gangs? Why do you have graffiti everywhere? And Campbell said, it's because America no longer has a shared myth. And it's fascinating to me that what was true then is still true today. And are on social media, are we just trying to find a share? Are we just, you know, clanking about trying to find that shared myth?
What is the shared myth? A common story? Something to believe in?
And myth is that eternal story of being human, if you will. You know, a myth is a story that no matter what part of the world it's told or how it's told, it connects you to the essence of being human. And it goes back to what you talked about, Renee, which there was probably the majority of the arc of at least modern humans, there were people who were holders of those myths. And they told them in very intentional ways and shared them. And I don't think we have that now. So I think we're all casting about for that myth. And I think some of us are respond to that in a positive way, like James. You know, you're much of what you do is really the myth of place. And I think, Renee, you do that by posting so much about your grandkids and your daughters. And that is the myth of generations, of initiations. But I think a lot of people don't do that, and I think they need it.
I think there's a danger in social media that we will see how it plays out. And James, you can speak to this as well, but it has to do with the fact that because of artificial intelligence and algorithms and tags and SEO, search engine optimization, and things like that, when you put your story out there, it starts getting grouped with other stories like it. It goes down a river, and it hits the tributaries that push it into whatever that realm is. So I think when you're doing an Instagram account about living in New Orleans, and it's not so much of a factor, but when you do stories about your beliefs or social issues or groups or getting along or politics or any of these other things, then suddenly our stories become to define us because we all have the same stories in our bucket. And I think that's a bad thing. I think that you need to have a more, it's ironic to me that it's a global movement that yet is putting us into non-global, into disparate groups or opposing groups in a way.
And I don't have as much of a problem with, because I think that's what stories have always done. I think part of using stories to find your way in the world is to find your tribe.
But, you know, there are platforms out there that harbor vicious or angry or radical groups.
Yes. And I think social media does speak to, unfortunately, as all stories do, right? What makes a compelling story? It either makes you feel better, or it speaks to the demons we all carry. And that has been true, you know, maybe not in the caves, but certainly for a long time.
And also, just as a general rule, is I don't post about political things or trying to see if I'm going to offend someone, possibly. I am not interested in doing that. I mean, I think that as bad as it gets with me is yesterday I was appalled because someone was in first class sitting next to me without their shoes on, and I was beside myself. I did post his face.
These are first world problems, James.
But it's just, now that...
That's his story.
That's about as political as I'm, you know, going to get about it. And I think the reason why I purposely avoid those topics is because I don't think that's why people are following me, is to get that opinion.
Know your audience. As a journalist, you need to know your audience. And I will end by asking you, where do you think this is going?
You know, I've paid less attention to Facebook, which I've started to realize, and focused on Instagram. So I'm starting to realize that eventually that'll probably go away, and maybe there'll be something else. And I don't know where it's going. I hope it sticks around, though, because I really do enjoy it. I really do. I hope it sticks around.
Good. There is the everyday wonder of social media.
Absolutely.
We have it here from James, and we appreciate you weighing in on it, and we'll continue following your 24-hour stories.
Always a pleasure to see you.
And tell your mother hello.
I will.
Thank you very much, Brett Will Taylor, for letting us talk about this today. It has been scintillating, as usual.
Thank you,
James, for being here. I hope y'all will tune in next week for another episode of Everyday Wonder. And I hope that those who are listening to this will leave a review for us, because that will give us the ability to continue telling our stories for a long time to come. Thank you.
The world is a beautiful place. Such a beautiful place. such a beautiful place.